You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And here we go.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G., thanking you so much for making us a part of your day. And if you like Locked On Sooners or Locked On Thunder or maybe even Locked On Rangers or any of the podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network, download the Himalaya app for your phone. And then when you get in your car, tell your smart device, most likely your phone, to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. And don't forget to subscribe via Google Podcast and Apple Podcast. Coming up today, we're going to talk about the alarmingly thin secondary. Okay, those were Alex Grinch's words, not mine. What is Alex Grinch really saying when he's talking about the secondary being alarmingly thin? Now, it's going to be thin throughout spring because you've got some significant guys who are out. But we'll also talk about retention rate, and I'll speculate. I'll just flat out tell you right now, I'm going to speculate. Is Alex Grinch saying something else about his secondary? And is he trying to put us on notice as fans for the upcoming season? We'll also talk about Cale Gundy's tattoo challenge. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll explain it all in segment number one. And I'll tell you why Cale Gundy should go ahead and get the tattoo. And why it was very smart for Cody Ford to get this tattoo. And it all ties into recruiting. It'll all be great for recruiting, and Cale Gundy just needs to. Look, Cale Gundy's never needed to take my advice before. This is one time where he needs to take my advice. Coming up in segment number two, Jalen Hurts is receiving 5-star reviews for the way he presented himself to the media when he met with the media on Friday. So we'll play you his opening statement, and I'll tell you why, as an OU fan, just listening to him talk should pretty much calm any fears you might have about him being the starting quarterback for OU. Certainly they calm mine. And I'll also tell you in segment number three why it won't be a big deal for him to step into the shoes of Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And we'll play some more audio from Jalen Hurts as he tells us a story about his high school days. And for me, it just really illustrates how cool this guy is under pressure and why when you go in and you take over for two Heisman quarterbacks, this is a guy that can get it done. It's the perfect transition for OU. And we'll also tip our hat to Miles Reynolds, who did something very cool on his way out of Norman. So bumps, bruises, and all, it's all right here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I also host a channel on the Maven Network called Sooner Maven, and you can find that at collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. We post this podcast there. We also do videos, and we gather stories from around the internet because we make it a one-stop shop for you for everything Oklahoma. Plus, it's a community, so you can feel free to comment on anything, and then we'll converse back and forth about everything under the sun that has to do with OU sports. So what is Alex Grinch really saying when he's talking about the secondary being alarmingly thin here at Oklahoma? Those were his words, not mine. Well, when you talk about lack of depth, the first thing I look and see is how many injuries are you talking about? Jordan Parker out for the spring. Robert Barnes out for the spring, Starlin Baldwin out for the spring. So right there, you've got three guys who are on the sidelines, not going to practice at all and get any work as far as getting used to your defense. Okay, so those guys are out. But I went back and I started looking at the recruiting classes from 2016 up through 2019, because that's as far back as things would go. And if you count Jordan Parker, I know he's out, but if you count him, OU retained three of the four defensive backs that were in that recruiting class. The only one they didn't keep was Parrish Cobb because of his obvious legal issues. In the 2017 class, they kept all four of the guys that are in that class. As a matter of fact, all four of them still on campus in Justin Broyles, Trey Norwood, Trey Brown, and Robert Barnes. Then you've got the class from 2018, Miguel Edwards, three-star recruit, apparently making a lot of noise for OU now. Starlin Baldwin, all right, we've already mentioned him, he's out. Patrick Fields, still on campus. Turner Yell, Derlin Turner Yell, still on campus. And then Abuki, still on campus. And from this latest class, Jamal Morris is on campus. And you've got three other guys coming in. I don't know of any college that wouldn't take the retention rate that OU has, because you're either alarmingly thin because of injuries or because guys are transferring, and it's certainly not transferring, and you've only got three guys who are out this spring, whom I'm sure are participating in as much practice as possible, watching as much film as possible, and will do everything they can to get back in the fold when it comes to the fall. What I am really hearing here from Alex Grinch is talent. He's not impressed with the talent at OU. That's why he's saying walk-ons are going to have a chance to play. If I'm one of these three freshmen who are not on campus now, or even Jamal Morris who is, I'm licking my chops to get on campus, and I'm thinking I have a real opportunity to come in and make an impact here on OU's defense. And I know, look, I've seen the tweets about speed defense. I've seen the stuff that the school's tweeting out and the guys who are participating that are tweeting out. But ultimately, it feels in a way that Alex Grinch is setting us up to not expect too much out of the secondary this year when it comes to the fall. And if we get anything out of the secondary, then we need to consider it a nice surprise. And all the pressure or on your edge rushers, your linebackers, your defensive linemen, where A, they're going to have to stop the run early, and B, they're going to have to be the ones that ultimately make the plays and force the turnovers. Now, granted, even if you are thin, I still think that these guys are probably talented enough to force turnovers and put your offense in a good situation, but I do kind of feel that the secondary is still going to be the biggest question mark coming into this season that is not the offensive line. And we may see another year, at least one more year, where the offense has to do a hell of a lot more work than what we really want it to. So maybe not a lot changes in Alex Grinch's first year, but that's no reason to lose hope. And I would think that throughout the year at OU, the defense is still going to continue to get better just with repetition and going out there and playing every week. And two, even if it's just halfway improved from what it was these last few years under Mike Stoops, I don't think any of us would complain, and we'd feel really good about OU's chances about winning another Big 12 championship. And even without a good defense, OU seems to manage to win a Big 12 championship. And that's why Cody Ford went out and got himself a tattoo that's got the Big 12. If you haven't seen it, it's on his forearm. I don't know which one, but it's on his forearm. It's got the Big 12 logo. And then the subsequent years that OU won the Big 12 championship. Well, Cale Gundy got challenged to get one of these tattoos for all the years that he's coached at OU, which would have all of them. And here's, in order to do that, Cale Gundy said if he got 15,000 retweets, and I'm not sure which tweet it is, but if it's the one that I looked at and the one that I retweeted on the Sooner Maven account, you're only at about 8,200. So you're a little more than halfway there, but it doesn't look like you're going to get to the 15,000 that you need to in order for Cale Gundy to do this. And I say screw the 15,000 retweets, screw talking to your wife, go ahead and do it. One, because it's cool. And two, the whole reason Cody Ford did it is because rings can be taken off and rings can be stolen. You can't steal a tattoo. That is your job resume. That is your recruiting resume. Anytime you walk into a kid's house, you just unroll the sleeve of the shirt you're wearing, or better yet, just wear a short sleeve. Show that tattoo off. And A, it'll speak pride to your university. It'll show them all the years OU wins the Big 12, so the dominance is there. You go ahead and, Cale Gundy, you need to do this. Go ahead and pull the trigger on it. If you ask your wife, she's just going to say no. As a guy who has tattoos, My piece of advice to you is, for everyone who's thinking about getting a tattoo, and your wife may not be down with it, go ahead and get it. It's better to beg forgiveness than ask permission. Here's what Kel Gundy had to say about the situation.
Closely following the number of retweets right now on that tweet.
No, I'm not. Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure. And you've still got a few thousand to go, though, I think. Yeah.
I think what's helping you, people aren't sure what tweet is supposed to be.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to clarify that even better?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
What kind of went into that and having some fun like that on Twitter?
Well, I mean, it started last night with Cody. I saw his tattoo that Cody Ford got, and what a great tattoo, you know. And then what a special, you know, here's a guy that's been here at one of the greatest football programs in football history, and to win four Big 12 championships and all the success those guys had. And, you know, it means something. It's very prideful, and, you know, so I kind of shot something at him, and he hit me back, and then it kind of escalated from there. And you know, obviously you kind of get in the office the next day and you have some recruiting guys that have these great ideas, you know, and, you know, kind of talk me into certain things here and there. I have to go home and talk to my wife about it. So here we go.
No, you don't. You talk to your wife about it. Again, she will not let you get the tattoo. Just do it. And eventually she'll get used to it. But I'm telling you, you do this, you ultimately become the coolest coach on the recruiting trail. Superseding your head coach, Lincoln Riley. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. If you like listening to this podcast, then do so on Himalaya. Just download the app to your phone and then tell your smart device when you're in your car to play us. And Himalaya is very cool, curates playlists for you. And hey, you've got access to all the Locked On podcasts there. It's Himalaya, just like the mountain range. Download that device to your smartphone and listen in your car. Coming up next, why Jalen Hurts is getting 5-star reviews for his appearance in front of the media.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast. Don't forget about Locked On Thunder. That is available as well. We'll have a couple of new episodes this weekend for both Locked On Sooners and Locked On Thunder. And make sure you stay plugged in to the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day available on the Himalaya app, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. Jalen Hurts gets 5-star reviews for his appearance in front of the media, his first appearance in front of the media as a member of the Oklahoma football team. And here's what I will tell you about that particular appearance, because Barry Trammell and I talked about this at the Thunder game. And there, I'll just pick up that name that I dropped and I'll dust it off. But Barry Trammell was right. Jalen Hurts was very impressive. But I'm going to go ahead and say I was right too, because Jalen Hurts didn't say anything, and it was really all by design. All the stuff that you really wanted to know about Jalen Hurts, about his recruiting process, about the differences between Oklahoma and Alabama, Jalen Hurts, very smart, very polished, kept it close to the vest, and didn't say anything that would have ruffled any feathers. So whether it was him growing up in an atmosphere where he learned that, or whether it was the folks in Alabama who polished him up, excellent job by Jalen Hurts. Because honestly, as much as I want to know that, it's better that you didn't say that, because the last thing you want to do is anger anyone. But I will tell you this, first appearance in front of the media at Oklahoma, all his experience at Alabama, this guy is unflappable. This guy is a guy that you're not going to be able to screw with when you are on the football field. Pressure situations, he's going to handle them just fine. And if you're worried about him learning Lincoln Riley's offense, because there's not a lot of information out there about how he's doing, how he's not doing, whatever, I would just say that even if he isn't necessarily tailor-made to run Lincoln Riley's offense, that he'll get enough of it down where if you put this kid in a situation where he will go out and start, he'll just make things work. And it won't be an issue where you're facing 4th and 2 and you got to worry about him making a decision, or 4th and long and you've got to worry about him making a decision. No, he'll figure out the right way to play. And he's certainly not going to be rattled in that situation, which is ultimately the thing you want out of your quarterback, is a guy that'll just go out there, play those big-time games in front of all those people in the stands, be it Norman or the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, and not get rattled. And that's what you've got in Jalen Hurts. And look, he's played down on the plains. He's been at Jordan-Hare. I have no issue with him going into Stillwater, Oklahoma. He'll be just fine. And if you want any more proof of that, here is Jalen Hurts' opening statement from his first meeting with the Oklahoma media.
How y'all doing today? Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here and be able to speak to you guys for the first time as an Oklahoma Sooner. I understand this is a place that has a ton of great tradition, has a history of having a lot of success in a lot of different areas. I know that for this team this year, what we want to do is we kind of want to create a new standard for ourselves, a standard that kind of consists of having a tenacious mentality, a relentless approach in what we're doing, and really having the will of not being denied. And I'm a firm believer in that, you know, if we continue to kind of practice the same habits, do the same things, we'll, 9 times out of 10, end up getting the same results. So I think as an organization, we all want more. We want to achieve more. And the best thing about it, the best part about it all is Coach Riley has done an exceptional job thus far since I've been here of kind of his leadership and land law, as they say, setting that foundation of how things should be. And, you know, it all comes down to at the end, I think to achieve more, you got to evaluate yourself. You got to give an honest self-assessment on yourself so you can do the things that you want to do. And I think this team has a vision. It's very early, but we have a vision of what we want to do, what we want to be as a team, the things we want to achieve. So, you know, we're holding everybody accountable to do that. We're working hard day in and day out to achieve those things. And it's definitely a work in progress. But I know also that for this team, we talk about this team this year, a national championship in 2000, however many Heismans there's been over the years, my past success, the things that I've done and achieved, those don't help us win any games in the fall. So I think the biggest thing for us is creating identity for ourselves, you know, finding out who we are as a team, achieving what we want to do, or knowing what we want to do first.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I had to cut that short there, but we're running up against it. Here's what I will say to that. First and foremost, it tells you that even though OU is successful, he has come in and seen that there needs to be work done. More importantly, you have kids in this program that also know that there needs to be work done, and coaches. And you start talking about that tenacious mentality and how most of us want it to apply to the defense. What may be the great thing for the defense is if the offense comes out with the attitude of, even though they've been carrying this team, that they have to get better and there's a lot of work to do and that it's both sides of the field, and that you show that team mentality, then maybe that carries over to the defensive side as well, and maybe Jalen Hurts is the guy to get OU over that hump. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Make sure you download the Himalaya app. Listen, get in your car, tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. It's just that easy. Coming up next, more from Jalen Hurts and why it won't be a big deal for him to step into both Baker Mayfield's and Kyler Murray's shoes.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast. Thank you for listening on the Himalaya app. And thank you for listening at Google Podcast as well as Apple Podcast. And check out all the other podcasts, Locked On Thunder, in the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Eric G., your gracious and humble host. More from Jalen Hurts now. It's not going to be, he said the other day at his press conference, he would be smart to pick the brains of Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. True, especially when you're trying to learn Lincoln Riley's offense. Other than Lincoln Riley, there aren't two better guys to learn from. But as far as being overwhelmed by two Heisman quarterbacks, that's just not who Jalen Hurts is. And it's not just because he played at Alabama, played in a big-time atmosphere, played for a coach like Nick Saban, and had an opportunity to win a couple of national championships. What it is, or I guess what, three national championships when I think about it? What Jalen Hurts has had since he's been in high school is, one, he's been a big-time recruit. He's always been the man until he got to Alabama and was told he wasn't going to be the man. So when you have that kind of swag, when you have that kind of attitude, when you can be a leader instantly and win over your teammates the way he is, you're not going to be overwhelmed by having to outperform two Heisman quarterbacks, because truthfully, Jalen Hurts doesn't have to outperform either one of them. He doesn't have to win a Heisman. He doesn't have to put up gaudy numbers. All he has to do is make sure that OU wins every single week. And even if it's not as spectacular, as long as OU's winning, you're going to have fans happy. And if he gets criticized, fans will have his back. And I don't think he's going to be criticized that often. And here's a story from when he played in high school that pretty much illustrates all that, from his days in Channelview in Texas.
I went to Channelview High School, and we played, North Shore, and they just won the state title last year. My junior year, we'd never beat this school. This is a school that I was probably supposed to go to. I was zoned to, but I went and played for Dad. So we played North Shore my junior year, and never beat this team ever. I mean, 10 years. I'm a ball boy watching North Shore get after Channelview, you know. So we play my junior year, and we give them a good fight, and we score on the last play of the game on a Hail Mary. And they just won state off of a Hail Mary, ironically. So we score on a Hail Mary my junior year to beat them, tied up at 48-48. Then we kick the extra point with no time on the clock, win the game. And it's a coach, that coach from North Shore. He's a head coach somewhere else now. I don't remember his name. But, you know, he's looking, you know, at my dad. And I'm the extra point holder at the time. So, you know, I hold it. He kicks it. It goes in. I take off running probably two steps. And I turn around. And I just kind of look at North Shore's sideline. And was just so calm at the moment. Like, you know, it's kind of personal, I guess. And then the coach looks at my dad on the sideline, and he's so calm and all that. So the coach is, you know, the coach is like, well, how is this guy so calm? I see where he gets it from. So I guess that story kind of sums up, I guess, where my demeanor comes from, why I'm so stoic and kind of nothing's ever too much, ever too big.
I mean, perfect. I mean, just really the perfect guy to come in and transition from and not have to worry about a Tanner Mordecai or a Spencer Rattler taking over in those shoes. And here's the other thing. Whoever takes over for Jalen Hurts is going to have big shoes to fill too. So it's not like you necessarily get a pass, but at least he's a transition from two Heisman winners, unless, of course, he wins the Heisman himself. And then, well, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to find out another guy from the transfer portal. For as great as Jalen Hurts is, I do not want to go too much further in this show without mentioning Miles Reynolds, former OU basketball player, giving him a tip of the cap. Came to OU as a grad transfer on his way out of town, spending his last day in Norman, which was today. He stops by Alcott Middle School with a bunch of autographed sneakers, a bunch of his autographed practice sneakers, and gives them to middle school kids. And the reason I bring that up is because even people that young can teach us some very valuable lessons. And it's not because he plays at OU or he gave away sneakers. And I think it would be very easy to talk about being cynical and talk about publicity and Could you have done more than just sneakers? I think it would have been very cynical to do that. What really gets to me on that is that if we all, just at certain points throughout our life, certain points throughout a month, a week, a day, to take time out of our day to go see someone, go talk to someone, to just pick up the phone and just have a discussion with someone that maybe you haven't talked to in a while. Doesn't necessarily have to be people you've never met. It's not like you've always got to volunteer and go talk to the poor. But just those basic one-on-one human connections can really mean a lot to people. And whether those kids play basketball and learn to become great ambassadors for the program that they're a part of, or whether they just turn out to be people in society, and they learn that if you just give sometimes, it's very small, just 30 seconds of your day, sometimes to someone, how much of a difference that can make. Then Miles Reynolds, right there in that moment, accomplished more than anything he could ever do on the court. My name is Eric G. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back this weekend, and until this weekend, when we'll be talking about more Jalen Hurts and more OU football, and we'll hear from the other two quarterbacks, Tanner Mordecai and Tanner Schaefer. I'm Eric G. saying, may God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. Peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.